want to introduce now our, well, I call him our district superintendent. I don't know what his official title is now.
Old guy.
Old guy? well, you're in good company. Reverend Tom Smith and his wife, Denise, with us today. God bless you.
Love you. I thought maybe he was discouraged because he heard that I was coming and preaching today. No. So that's...
Never.
I'm grateful to be here. Denise and I were talking about... sometimes you get up here, you got to move out so I can see you better. But about us coming into the area. So our first connection with Dighton Wesleyan Church was when Pastor Elvin and Becky Wooters were here. Now, I know that ages us a few years, but we were serving the youth during that time. Some of you are here and remember that particular time that we served the youth. So we came up and met with Elvin and Becky during that time. So we've been connected to Dighton for 47 or 8 years, probably 48 years, and known all the pastors and a lot of the people, and yeah, just had a great time. So we're glad to be here, glad to be back again. We want to talk about his story is for us, and everybody has a story. I heard this morning that there was a teenager that came up to Sean this last week and asked if Darren was his father. So what do we call, him great-grandpa, or what do we call? Anyway, everybody has a story. That's a new one for you. So we're not so sure about Leslie. She's so much younger than Darren. Yeah. Matter of fact, this last week I walked in, or I guess 2 weeks ago, I walked into a restaurant. We were going to Michigan State Police breakfast with the retirees, and we walked in and this table on the side. There were 4 guys sitting there, and the one guy was facing, and he said, "Oh, I'm glad you came and brought your daughter with you," which is my wife, Denise. Isn't that encouraging for people? Anyway, we like to hear that. So Denise and I have been married 50 years now, 50 years and a couple months. So she's put up with a lot over these particular years, and we're grateful for that. We appreciate your prayers. My official title, I'm an ambassador for the Great Lakes region. And so I have 13 pastors that I mentor and connect with. I sent them a note this morning praying for them, pray for a variety of churching coaches and a Michigan State Police chaplain. And I'm very involved in hand wash and Rotary, trying to put a well in a very remote area of Haiti, which is very difficult right now. 31,000 people that do not have a well, access to water. And you that have been to Haiti, know the difficulties. It's even a greater time of difficulty for them with the gangs and destruction and all that stuff. But so we need a lot to pray for. And the people that were affected by Helene and Milton hurricanes, that's just devastating. And for the last 19, 20 years, 21 years, we have gone to Treasure Island, Madeira Beach for vacation. During Christmas. We're not this year. It's not going to be open. It's closed. Treasure Island is pretty much shut down. They don't have power or water or all that kind of stuff still. And so the place that we stay is damaged. And so hopefully that'll be renewed. But there's a lot of people that are suffering. It also makes you more grateful that you live in Michigan. We've yet to have a hurricane here. So every once in a while, we get a tornado, so that's our story. But our story, his story is for us. This comes from Luke chapter 19. Everyone has a story. Everyone likes to have people hear their story. And one of the greatest things that we can is just to sit down and to hear people's story about their life and their involvement and things like that. Well, almost everybody likes their story. Some people have very little to be said about their life, and some people have a lot to be said about their life. And often, there's a little statement on people's tombs that speak about their life story. And I want to share just 4 of them with you. The first tombstone reads, "I made some good deals, I made some bad ones. I really went in the hole with this one." You'll be thinking about that, right? The second tombstone says, "I told you I was sick." Now some people say that they were sick, and they're always sick. I like this third one. You can't read it very good, but this is what it says. "Near this spot, Samuel Whitmore, then 80 years old, killed three British soldiers April 19th, 1785. He was shot, he was bayoneted, he was beaten and left for dead. But he recovered and lived to be 98 years of age. Now, talk about, that was a terrible, no good, very bad day for that guy. But you know what? There's amazing things that come about. We can be discouraged, but there is one that is greater than all of this discouragement. And the fourth one is that TV personality, Merv Griffin. Some of you remember Merv Griffin, right? Some of you don't. But he always left for commercials, and he'd say, I'll be right back, right? So on his tombstone, it says, I will not be right back after this message. July 6, 1925 to August 12, 2007. He wasn't going to be right back. I've been in ministry for 49 years, and when I was pastoring in Hart, I often got called from the funeral directors in Shelby or Hart, and they would ask if I would do a funeral. More than 40 years ago, I was asked, called by the local funeral director and asked if I would do a funeral for this guy. His name was William Totvius. Didn't have any idea who he was. Lived in Pentwater, if you know where that is. And they told me that he was had several dogs and things like that and walked to the beach, and that's all that people knew about him. Anyway, they asked me to do the funeral. Found out he was a merchant marine, so as I prepared my message and got ready to do that and went down to the cemetery, because it was going to be at the cemetery. It was going to be a graveside service. And I got down there, and I walked up. The casket was still in the hearse. And so I went over, and I helped the gravedigger and two of the funeral directors carry the casket to the location in the cemetery. And then I waited. I waited for somebody else to come to hear the message. And I waited, and the time came for the service to start, and nobody was there. And then I noticed there were a couple elderly ladies walking down the hill, and they were coming, so we paused and waited for them to come. And they stood up by me, and then they said, is this William Totvius' funeral? And I said, yes, it is. They said, well, we just came to make sure that he was dead, and they turned around and started to walk away. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a life story that you'd like to hear about or things like that. I asked them to stay for a few minutes, and anyway, they did. And I found out that they owned the house that he rented, and they were just trying to verify. They were from Chicago. They drove up, and they were checking out the house and just verifying that William Totvius was gone. That's a sad thing, and there's a variety of others. I remember one funeral that I had in Lafayette, and I always try to meet with the family early so I can share about the deceased and things like that. And I met with this one family, and we sat down, and there was a mom and several kids, and I said, can you tell me something about your father, your husband? They said, no, he was a terrible man. We have nothing good to say about him. We're just glad that he's gone. I was like, and I'm going to preach the sermon, this funeral, in a day or so. Anyway, everybody has a story to tell. What is the story that God wants us to tell? And what is the message of the story of transformation that God has for us? And I want us to share about Zacchaeus this morning. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 or your phone. I use my phone a lot of times for that. But we discovered that this message of Zacchaeus is a story of life transformation and eternal impact. But what we discover is the story is more about what Jesus did than really Zacchaeus. His story is God's story. His story for us is God's story. Let's read God's word. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 19, it'll be on the screen, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times that amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. God, you have a message for us. It is your word. More than the words that I will say, more than the words that we've heard in song, which has been wonderful today in this worship service, it is about your speaking to us, Holy Spirit, because that's the story that matters, your story, God, your story of transformation in Zacchaeus' life, your story of transformation in our lives. And so, God, may our story be truly your story. God, who so loved us, gave his life for us so that we might have life. Speak to us, O God, as we are listening today to what you have to say. And we praise you, God. Amen. Amen. I want us to think about exploring the story and making, you may be seated, and explaining or exploring this message that God has for us and walking through these verses. The first thing I want us to realize in verse 5, it says that he seeks us. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. It's important for us to realize that tax collectors in those particular days were not popular people. Matter of fact, there's a lot, anybody that's a tax collector around here? Or maybe you're a tax assessor, county assessor, those kind. Anyway, we know those people that go around to assess our property and say, oh, you're going to pay $2,000 more. Anyway, they're not popular people, right? But anyway, the scripture talks about that he seeks us. So tax collectors, and especially in those days, you need to remember that the tax collector worked for the Roman government. And so his responsibility, or it's primarily his responsibility, because I don't know if there were any women tax collectors in those days, but his responsibility was to decide how much tax you were going to pay, how much money you were going to give to the Roman government. And so he wasn't popular at all. And Zacchaeus was one of those individuals. Not only that, but he could say, Kurt, you're going to give so many denarius today, which he thought, oh, I was only going to give one. Now I got to give 25. And then he would pocket the rest of whatever he charged people. And so that's why he was not a liked person. And so people treated them negatively, didn't want to be around them, except probably maybe the people that were close to him, and so he could fund them. So he was not liked, but anyway, but we discover that it says that God sought him, or Jesus sought him. And it's important for us to understand and to discover that Jesus was interested even in Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus went to watch what Jesus was all about. Who was this man that was transforming lives and people who were healed and helped and all those kind of things? And Zacchaeus was a short guy. He was trying to figure out what kind of business involvement he could be. And so he hired into the Roman government to collect taxes. And there was Zacchaeus, and he went and he climbed up into a tree. Now, I know we don't often sing the song anymore that Zacchaeus was a... And he
climbed up in a sycamore tree.
Yeah, and all right. Well, hey, you know, maybe we need to sing that again sometime. So, because that's a story about Zacchaeus, because he came Jesus saw him. That's the next line, but he seeks us. And so Zacchaeus climbed up in the tree. And I remember coming to church and singing that song. And most of you do too. And maybe we even sing it at times. And we go through all the motions, right? Did you go through the motion? We could have done that today too, just to get some exercise. We might have needed some exercise. But we used to put motions with it and all that sort of thing. Listen, whoever you are today, God still seeks us because he came to seek and to save the lost. Amen. And all of us, one time or another, didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So he seeks every person, everyone that is here. All of us have been sought out by God to come and to know him as our Lord and Savior. And so today we know that he seeks us. Not only that, but he sees us. It says that Jesus went by the tree. And as he was going by the tree, it says that Jesus looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he told Zacchaeus to come down. So he sees us where we are. He knows that we need help and hope. We need transformation in our life. And Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm coming or I'm going to your house today. Jesus sees us where we are. It wouldn't have mattered if he was in a tree or some other place, particularly during that time. Jesus would have been seeking him, and he would have seen him, and Jesus had come to transform lives. There are many people today that are hiding from God, hiding through a variety of religious or experiences or anything in life to hide from God. And some people are struggling in life. One of our oldest granddaughter, we've been going through a series of stuff about her saying that she doesn't care about God and doesn't care about being a Christian, all that sort of thing, and that's really frustrating. And the thing of it is, we need to be evidently living for Christ so that she sees that we are devoted followers of Christ. How does God see us? He sees us as a person that needs to walk with him. He sees us as a person of need. And when he looked up in the tree and he saw Zacchaeus and he said, come down, he saw a person whose life could be transformed. Isn't that amazing? That's the message that God has for us. He is a God who sees every person as one that can be transformed, one that can live a life that's pleasing to him. That we can celebrate. And we don't have to be discouraged about that kind of story. And it's the message of he sees us and he calls us and he tells us that he's coming to our house and he says, your Lord and Savior, that God is who on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So accept who he is, believe that he's God, and confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that message that when he sees us, and if you're here today, you can accept, you can believe, and confess, and begin to follow him, because that's what he's planned for. When he seeks us, he calls us, and he tells us to follow him, just like he did the other disciples. Our Pastor Matthew, preached a sermon a couple weeks ago about, you know, a lot of times people like to use the word Christian. And he said, depends on the translation of the Bible, the word Christian is only used 3 or 7 times. But what does God call us? What does Jesus call us to be? He called us to be his followers, his disciples. And if you look in the scriptures, you'll find to be a disciple of Christ is spoken about 153 times or somewhere around that number. And Jesus calls us to be devoted followers of Christ. And so when he seeks us and he sees us and he calls us, he wants us to begin following him. Just like he called James and John and Peter and Andrew from being fishermen. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree. He sees us where we are, and he knows our lives can be transformed. I like what it says in 1 Samuel 16. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. God sees us. And then we talk about Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. This is how God sees us. He sees us as a created being, as a person that God is interested in life transformation. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to know about how many people are in the world today. Have any of you gone to the Worldometer on? It's good, easy to Google. You haven't never done that? You need to Google Worldometer because it has a running total of a 8.3 something 4 billion people, and it does a running total, and it lists not only that, but it lists about how many people are being born in the world at that particular time. About 365,000 people are born every day, and about 164 people die every day. That means our world population is growing. And we think about those massive numbers, and we realize that God sees everyone. Everyone. God is interested in everyone. God seeks us, he sees us, and he is interested in each and every one of us in our life and what we do. He seeks us, he sees us, and he speaks to us. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime my mom or dad said, come here immediately, that was not good news, right? Anybody remember those days? Now, that was before they took you out to the woodshed, right? We talked about that for things that people joke about, those kind of things, or going on a whaling expedition or something like that. Those immediately responsive things. I never liked hearing my dad say, come here, right now, immediately. But Jesus had a reason to speak to him. Zacchaeus was in need of life transformation. Zacchaeus did not know God. And this was a time when they gave sacrifices and they did all of that. And Jesus was this revolutionary individual that was sharing a new message. But not really a new message, a message that was being confirmed from the Old Testament. And he was speaking to Zacchaeus about coming to his house. And he was like, he was taken back. It wasn't a story that people had spoken about. People didn't come to his house just to come to his day. Good people didn't come to Zacchaeus' house or go to Zacchaeus' house because he was considered evil. He was deceptive, and so nobody wanted to go to him. But we discover that God spoke to him. 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. God speaks to us. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit continues to speak to me. And has spoken in the past, spoken at times when I seemed like I was wandering, didn't know what, where to go or seeming of what to do. And sometimes in our discouragement, we need to listen and allow God to speak to us. I love the story in the Old Testament found in 1 Samuel 3 about Samuel, who was serving in the tabernacle with the high priest Eli. And Samuel, as a young boy, he was lying down to go to sleep, or maybe he was sleeping. It says he was sleeping, and all of a sudden he heard a voice that said, Eli, or Samuel, right? Samuel. And so he got up and he ran to wherever Eli was, and he stood before him, and he woke him up, and he said, Eli, I'm here. He probably said master or whatever. He probably didn't call him by name. And the high priest said, no, I didn't call you. Go. And so he went back and he laid down again the second time. Says he fell asleep and all of a sudden he heard the voice again. Samuel, Samuel. So he jumped up and he ran to Eli and he said, sir, I'm here. I'm listening. And Eli said, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. Now, at my age, I get up because nobody calls me, kind of. But you know what I mean, right? So that happens as you get older. It's like, oh, well, something's calling. Otherwise, a wet bed will be the result, probably. But anyway, so on the third time, here's a little guy. He's laying back down. He's sleeping. And for the third time, he jumps up. He hears the voice, Samuel, Samuel. He goes to visit Eli. And Eli said, Samuel, it must be God speaking to you, which was pretty amazing because the scripture tells us that God hadn't spoken to the people for a long time because they were disobedient. They weren't following him. And even as a high priest, he did not hear. Remember when you read about the story of Eli, you find his sons were deceptive and disruptive and they were carnal. And so they had not heard from God, but Samuel was hearing from God. He said, go back and say, Lord, I'm listening. All of us need to know that God is speaking to us all the time. Amen. All the time. And he wants us to know that he walks with us and he talks with us and he shares with us and he will not leave us nor forsake us because he speaks to us. And we need to be people that say, Lord, I'm listening. I want to hear your voice. And Zacchaeus did that. He said, Lord, I hear you. My life will be changed or my life will be given to you. But there must be a need or a willingness to hear God. Many, many people today turn off their ears. And it doesn't have anything to do with hearing aids. It has everything to do with heart, our soul, our being, and closing out God in our mind, in our attitudes, in our actions. And sometimes we're being devoted to things that are taking us away from what God wants for us. And I liked what Keith said about, Devin was talking about at the very beginning, about the times that we live in, political times, and not being nervous about that and not being fearful. You know what? Just as Devin said, God is in charge. He's in control. And who are we listening to? He speaks to us. Who are we listening to? Well, I'm not going to get political, but I'm glad that the political season is ending pretty soon. But anyway, we'll move on. God, I don't think God wants us to speak. And he surprises us. That's the fourth thing. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. The people were watching and they were surprised. I think Zacchaeus was surprised. We shouldn't be surprised that God is interested in us, but sometimes we are. God is interested in every one of us. We've already talked about that a little bit. There are things that surprise us. Several years ago, Denise and I came from Indiana. We were heading to Hart. We were going to meet with a couple that was their wedding weekend, I think, or something like that. And we're meeting with this couple, and Kurt, with a C, not a K. Wait, is yours C or K? Kurt was coming out of the house, and there were like four steps, and all of a sudden, he leaped out and he ran to the car. And we thought, wow, we've never been greeted by anybody like that. And he got to the car and he said, well, I started a step and there was a snake on the step and I hate snakes. And so he jumped right over it and came and greeted us. It surprised him. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things in life that are surprising. It was surprising for Zacchaeus to be called and for Zacchaeus to respond and for Zacchaeus to hear that Jesus was coming to his house. And God has a message to us that he wants to come to us. Because all, as Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what surprises us is that God wants us to live with him and for him. It shouldn't be a surprise, but it's the message of hope that God has for us. God desires for us to know him. I love this song that was written by Priscilla Owens. It's an old song. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It's a wonderful message and a song that God speaks to us. He surprises us and God sends us, verse 10. Salvation was not just for the people who Jesus called forward to come follow him out of fishing boats and crowds or trees. And Jesus calls all of us to be messengers of truth, to live out the truth of Jesus. It's why he came to this earth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 7 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I would hope and pray that when you read God's word, that you ask the question, what is God saying to me? He is speaking to us to send us. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. You and I are being sent as messengers to Jesus Christ. God loves us. Somewhere in my sermon, I had written about that God wants us to make sure that we're not people who make judgments or prejudge. When we read about the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus was not doing any judging, even though many others were. You and I need to be people as devoted followers of Christ that we do not prejudge people. It doesn't mean that we'll necessarily agree with them. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'd love to go out to eat with them. And yet Jesus did that with Zacchaeus. When I was pastoring in Lafayette, Denise and I had been there for a few years and gotten to know quite a bit of the people really well. And, you know, as you know, I like to try and know people's names and things like that in life. And so there are a couple that came to our church that we just really love, Junior and Marilyn Balser. They begin to talk about asking prayer for an ex-brother-in-law. An ex-brother-in-law that did not have a good marriage situation with Marilyn's sister. And yet they continued to pray for Willard. And I remember us sitting together and being in a prayer time and them talking about it and praying for Willard. And they said, we want Willard to come to church. He just lost a lady that he lived with for 20 years or something like that after divorcing Marilyn's sister and all that stuff anyway, or many years. And he needs to know God. And we're praying for him. You and I need to do that. We need to be praying for people specifically. It's something that we've lost at times. And sometimes when we gather a group, not to gossip, but to care and to specifically pray. And they prayed for Willard. And so one time Willard came to church. And Willard came with Junior and Marilyn. And Junior and Marilyn were not outgoing people. They did stuff behind the scenes. You would never see them on the platform, ever. Because they did stuff behind the scenes. They served. Junior was on the board at times, trustee. But they prayed specifically for family and others. So Willard came to church. And a couple months had passed, and my son Jeff and I went to an auction. Anybody like going to auctions? We like going to auctions. So we went to this auction across town, and we're at this auction, and we recognize Willard is there. Willard's there, and he had bought a new house, and he didn't have any furniture. He was buying everything that he could. Furniture came up for sale, for auction. He was auctioning. He was buying it. So my son, Jeff, and I, we went up to him. We said, do you remember who we are? We're Pastor Tom, and this is Jeff. And yeah, I kind of remember, you know, Junior, Maryland's pastor and things like that. And then we asked him, we said, Junior, Willard, how are you going to get your stuff home? He said, I don't know. I said, how about if we go get Jeff's truck? We'll get Jeff's truck and we'll come back and we'll load up the stuff and wherever you need it delivered to, we'll deliver it. He said, you do that. We said, yeah, we'll do that. So we got Willard's, went home, got the truck, loaded up, delivered it. Well, I want you to know, Willard was like, wow, why would they do such a thing? Why would you do such a thing? So Willard came to church. Willard heard the good news in his 70s about Jesus Christ and gave his life to Christ. But God wasn't finished with him. And he used to sit over here about third or fourth row on the right-hand side, and his language wasn't quite cleaned up yet. And so he stood up to testify in a morning service, and he said, God's doing a hell of a good work in my life. Wow. Anyway, God was at work. We were like, okay, we'll just keep on moving along. God spoke to Willard about serving him. Willard liked playing the guitar and he liked singing. He said, Pastor Tom, can I go with you to work at the nursing homes and do services? Sure. So he started, and we worked together, and then he started doing that nursing home and another nursing home and another nursing home, and he'd go and sing, and he'd play, and people came to know Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. Willard lived for God those last few years, and I had the privilege of doing his funeral when he did pass away. But I want you to know, if you would have looked at Willard, if you would have heard his language, if you would have been around him, you would say, I don't know if I should be spending time with Willard. But God said, God sees him. God sees a life that can be transformed. And God transformed Willard just like he transforms us. And you and I, how do we see people? We need to see people as God sees them. His story for us is life transformation. It's God's story. It's God's story and our story because he so loved us. He gave himself for us. Praise his name. Father, thank you that we can be together today. And I pray, God, in this troubled time, as we seek a new president and leadership, I pray, God, that you give us wisdom, and we pray, God, that we live lives as Christ followers, devoted followers of Christ. And I pray that, God, as we live a life, that we would look for others, that God, that might be rejected or marginalized or not cared for. They might even be by themselves all the time, or they might be bullied. And I pray, Father, that we would take interest in them, no matter who they might be, child, teenager, young adult, senior adult, whomever they might be. I pray, God, that you would stir in us the same kind of attitude and heart desire, because Jesus said that he came to seek and to save the lost. We are to be about His message. We pray for the church, for the leadership, as a pastor is sought. And we pray, God, right now, as You know who the pastor needs to be, and that, God, You would give guidance and wisdom, and that, God, there would be lives transformed, continual people coming to know Christ, being baptized and serving You. Because, God, You make all the difference, and Your story can be our story, which is God's story. Praise His name. Amen. Amen.